Welcome into a new episode of the Bengals Beat podcast. I'm your host, Kelsey Conway, here with podcast producer Sam Green. And our special guest today is one of my favorite people to work with, but also one of my favorite people in life.
You make me cough.
You know him as Skinny, but if you don't know him by the name we all call him, his name is Richard Skinner. You've seen his work over on Local 12. And there was no one I wanted to have in studio more than Skinny today because your long-term view of the Bengals is, I think, the most important thing here when talking about some of the biggest topics with the Bengals right now. So you know where our conversation is going to start.
Yes.
And probably end.
Well, let's start it.
You want me to start over?
Nope.
Okay. So you know where our conversation is probably going to start and most likely end because there's not really much else that anybody is talking about with the Bengals. And we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about the roster right now because, in my opinion, until the three deals get done, it's hard to look at what next week will be.
No doubt.
And I almost say two of three. But what's interesting about that is the two I'm talking about is T and Trey. And then I catch myself saying, well, that's not even the biggest one. But the reason I don't think that one is as imminent to next week is because the Bengals know how much at this point Ja'Marr Chase wants.
And know the guarantee, basically,
right,
too.
So it's not an information-finding situation. They have the information. They also know they have essentially all spring to get that deal done. But I want to start the conversation with the news yesterday that we all knew was coming, and that is that T. Higgins was franchise tagged by the Bengals for a second year in a row. We just spent a week at the Combine listening to Duke Tobin and Zach Taylor talk. We all have our opinions. We read between the lines. That's what we do. Do you feel any different about the futures of T and Trey after last week and the tag officially being placed yesterday than you did maybe 2 weeks after the season ended?
No, especially with T, because, I mean, the one thing that people have to understand, I know you know this, you can't begin negotiating with T until the season ends because mm-hmm. he played on the franchise tag last year. So, I mean, maybe they happen back channels, but you technically cannot start that process. We've only had less than 2 months passed since the season ended. That's not a lot of time for a nuanced deal to take place, negotiations to go back and forth. So what you do then is you use the tag as a buffer for another 4 months of negotiation. Now, maybe they draw the line hard in the sand and say, you know what, we're not going to this number and we have you tagged. And you know what they can do? They can actually do it a third time. So they could do this again next year with T. Higgins. Now, it's going to cost you a lot more money, 140% of what he's making this year. So it'll be up in the $30 million stratosphere, but they can use it. I think it's procedural, but I also think it gives them the peace of mind to know they have T. Higgins at least for 2025. He may not like it, but they have him for 2025.
I want to spend some time on T and Trey separately.
Yeah.
Because I think clumping them together is not necessarily
what I think that's
here.
What everybody does, but I'm not sure that's correct.
Yeah, and so that's why it's good to have the time to spend on both of them. So if you are listening or watching and you've loosely followed the contract saga with Trey, T, and the Bengals, we're going to break it down here. So let's start with T. Higgins.
Yep.
And it is a situation that I feel like I have spent a lot of time on digging into for the last almost 3 years, yeah. It feels like. So let's start with going back. And that's why the tag being placed yesterday was a good refresher for me because I went back to a story that I had written on Cincinnati.com. I tweeted it out yesterday if you want to get a look at it, but it was an exclusive from 2023 about details that I found out about the contract negotiation process with T the first time around. And to sum it up, and you obviously know this, the Bengals, according to a reliable source of knowledge of what took place then, said that the Bengals only made one run at T. Higgins and it almost perceived to them that it wasn't really a real negotiation because they made one run and the run didn't seem legit in their eyes. So it never really evolved into a, hey, here's our starting number. Well, here's our number. Let's try and come together. They viewed it as their number was so low that his side viewed it as this isn't even remotely close to being able to be something that can happen. So I don't know if the Bengals said, here's our number. I have the number, by the way. We'll get to that. And they felt comfortable at that point with that being the number that they put out, maybe knowing we don't really think we can keep this guy. So here's our number. And I'm not sure if, say, with Ja'Marr Chase, their first offer is maybe even bigger because they know that they're going to be able to keep him. So I'm sure the Bengals have their reasons for why they put the number out there. But it never got to a legitimate negotiation process. And the source told me that he wasn't perceived to be in the Bengals' long-term plans. And then this is spring of 2023. T then plays that season, and it's likely his last season before everybody assumed the Bengals would tag him. They never, from what I know to this point, re-engaged in a negotiation because it was very much assumed you're going to play one more year on the tag and then you're out of here. Then
Joe Burrow steps into the equation.
Right. So then Joe Burrow in December after the Cowboys game changes the equation. But where I want to start with is this piece of the T. Higgins conversation. Their first run at T. Higgins, this is all according to the source, did not eclipse $20 million. Rumors around T. Higgins right now are that he's looking for a deal that would be around anywhere between the range of $28 to $30 million, because that's what he could get on the open market. All of this, we don't know what T is asking for. We don't know
what the Bengals market offer is.
Yeah, we don't know what the market actually
is.
And I think that's the point of being careful here, is a lot of the numbers are driven by with no fact, because yes, he would have been a top free agent. We still don't know what those teams would have come in with. How do you go, if you're the Bengals, and I know things have changed clearly because they've now said they want to get a deal done with him, how do you go from not offering someone $20 million to being okay with ponying up potentially 10 more million?
Because number nine said so. I mean, I think it's that simple. I honestly do. I think he put enough pressure on them to bring their number up. Now, again, I think you'll agree with this. We don't know at what point do they lack the comfort to do this. If 30 million, 31, whatever it is, that they just say, that's just too much. I think that's going to be the fascinating thing to find out in the end, is how far were the Bengals and are the Bengals willing to go? Or are they just willing to lowball and ride this off? As I mentioned, they can tag him again. Not going to be happy about it, but you could have T. Higgins not just for this year. You could have him next year. It's going to cost you, again, 140% of $26 million. I don't know what that gets us to. It gets us to in the $30 million range guaranteed. But I also think there's some peace of mind here if you're the Bengals of, do you trust this guy's long-term health to give him a long-term deal, or you just play the tag game? You just keep playing the tag game. And, you know, maybe at the end of the tag game, you go, okay, we got three more years out of him than anybody thought we were going to get. And we did it on our terms at the price we were comfortable with. Maybe not. Maybe they get this deal done. Maybe I'm completely wrong, and I know Bengals fans got to hope that I am because they want him back. But that's the part none of us know, right? He's missed five games each of the last 2 years. Do you bank on that, hey, the history suggests he's probably not going to make it through a full season? Or do you say, no, it's an outlier of a couple years? Maybe it's not. And you have to weigh that in. Am I willing to pay for this much money for 12 games of production? Because that's all I've gotten the last 2 years is 12 games of production. This is one of the most fascinating ones to me. The Ja'Marr one's so easy, it's ridiculous. I know that sounds stupid because you're paying him north of 40 mil, right? Guaranteed, et cetera. That one's more this one's hard because there's more nuance to it of, he's not a true number one, but he may get paid on the open market from another team like a true number one. He has an injury history. That's a fact. Do you continue to think that that injury history is going to continue? Do you say, yeah, no, I, we're going to go ahead and pay him and cross our fingers that he stays healthy? And the fact that the quarterback wants him back is a big deal in this, a big part of this.
But if, and I know Joe's evolution in that building has taken time. Like, he's had to earn the right to be able to express these types of opinions. You don't think Joe wanted T. Higgins 2 years ago?
Well, but there was no sense of urgency 2 years ago either, though, right? You could tag him. You knew all along you could tag him. And so that's when deals get done, is when there's a sense of urgency. And maybe there's not here either, because you know you tagged him. You know he's yours. He's got two choices right on the tag. Two choices. Mm-hmm. He does. Now, they can always make the choice to trade him, but he's got two choices. Play under the tag, or not play and get paid nothing and have a year go by with no production, and then try to hit the open market when teams are like, yeah, but he didn't play last year. What am I going to now? Am I going to pay him now? So he's going to play. He's going to play under the tag. He's going to play to the best of his ability under the tag. I don't think anybody would doubt that part of it, because he wants to get paid, right? I mean, Jamar, in essence, paid for himself. He went out this past season and literally put the final stamp on that.
That was T. Higgins went out and played to his best ability this past year.
But he only played 12 games, and you have to take that into account.
But I'm saying I don't think there's any like mindset switch for T that's different from last year to this year.
No, I agree with that.
I want to play to my best ability.
Yes, I agree with that.
I think that it's, none of us know what's going to happen. It certainly provides a lot of conversations. I can see,
because none of us know really where the starting point is and where the end point is, right? And what's the middle ground that both sides have to kind of, one side's got to come down a little, one side's got to come up a little, or does one side have to come down a lot and the other side has to go up a lot? We don't know. Yeah.
So that's why I am sure you get asked a lot by people around the city, friends, followers, you know, what do you think is going to happen? I truly don't know.
That's literally my answer every time of I don't know.
Right. And usually I feel like at this point I could get a sense one way or the other. But this one truly is a wild card to me. And like you said, the biggest thing for me with T. Higgins is I've always maintained this stance. If you wanted to keep him, it should have been done 2 years ago.
Yeah, I'm not in that camp. I get what you're saying, and you could argue that it's cost you more money, right? Because the price has gone up.
I mean,
but again, the peace of mind of a guy with an injury history, and he even had an injury history leading into these negotiations before, of am I willing to put this guaranteed money or this signing bonus money in a guy that I don't know if I can trust can be healthy over the span of this 4-year contract?
That's not what I'm talking about. My opinion is on this subject, they clearly didn't, for whatever their reason at the time was, whether it was we're not going to be able to afford it,
and maybe that's
whatever,
it too, right?
They didn't feel strongly about him being in their future plans. Duke Tobin can say all he wants that he's always, and they have always valued T in like a super high regard, but the numbers tell a different
story.
Fair
point.
And that's important. And we got a chance to talk to Duke Tobin in Indy in a private conversation with the beat writers. And I brought that up to him because he keeps getting these questions about, well, what's changed with your guys' desire to keep him long term? And he keeps saying, well, we've always wanted to keep T. And that's why I try to eloquently bring up, I think that conversation starts because of the lack of perhaps an attempt to keep him 2 years ago. But I think a lot of things have changed with the Bengals in terms of their fan base's crave for championships, and where I wanted to get your specific perspective on looking at like the long-term picture with the Bengals. Has there been a player since you've been covering the Bengals that they really dug their feet in on, we don't want to get ourselves into a potential pickle here with owing you this much money when you have these injury concerns? Is there another player that's kind of had this type of negotiation saga with the team that it reminds you of, or is it almost completely different?
Yeah, it's completely different.
But quarterback.
But I would tell you it's completely different. But the Andrew Whitworth situation is a little bit similar to this. Not as much money, obviously, that we're talking about. But they made a preemptive strike in drafting Cedric Ogbuehi and Jake Fisher. That was going to be their left tackle and right tackle that would be playing there maybe this year on their ninth year, whatever it would be. They thought that they had their guy. Hence, they felt that Witt was too old. Again, they don't like to pay guys in their 30s. Witt was into his 30s, and that's the roll of the dice. You don't know. Does a guy hit the wall at 33? Does a guy hit the wall at 35? Well, Witt didn't hit the wall until Witt decided, I'm done playing football. He never really hit the wall. And it was a little bit similar, but there was never really a negotiation process. It was, here's what we'll give you, and he said, no, thank you, and out the door he went. And it was a mistake. I guess you could argue that Jesse Bates won a little bit, because Jesse did eventually get paid by another team, and the Bengals were never going to go to that stratosphere. The question would be, where were the Bengals willing to go to maybe keep him around? And in retrospect, it was a mistake. But no, I think this is more of an outlier because the quarterback's so involved in this. Because, in part because I think fans saw they let Jesse Bates walk, right? That, hey, stop letting your stars walk. Keep your stars around. And that plays into it, too.
That's where I'm fascinated to. I would love to be a fly on the wall, because how much of this is peer pressure from past decisions that haven't worked out, because social media wasn't a thing like it was when the Whitworth stuff.
Sure.
I mean, it was around.
Right. But it wasn't like it. You're right.
I mean, we are still, Jesse Bates has been in Atlanta 2 seasons. We are still talking about them, what happened with Jesse and how it's impacting that. And I just wonder how much of the decision to keep T. Higgins is, yes, they think he's a really good player. Their offense is unquestionably better when he is on the
Absolutely.
Field.
Absolutely.
They make their quarterback happy. They're able to get maybe in some good grace with their fans.
Sure.
Like, there's so many factors here that I just wonder.
But the other factors in this too, Kels?
The pie.
Now, the other factors in this are this. And he wasn't a high draft pick. Neither one of these guys were. But they were drafted in rounds in which you thought they'd be serviceable players. Charlie Jones hasn't panned out. Jermaine Burton has flamed out. If you'd have had one of the two become a productive player, and you were probably hoping for both, then this wouldn't even be a conversation. Right. They would let T walk because they wouldn't feel the pressure. Right now, as much as Andre Yoshivash is a nice player, he's a fourth wide receiver at best. On this team, he's forced into the three role. If you let T go, you don't even have a two now. I mean, now you're down to Jamar and a bunch of guys that's like, it's a bunch of Trent and Irwins. Mm-hmm. So that's a tough play. I think that adds to the layer of this, too, that the Charlie Jones pick has not worked out, and the Jermaine Burton pick is completely flopped to this point.
Well, that's a good segue to Trey, because Mo Egger, our friend, I thought made the best statement like a month ago about why the Bengals are in the situation that they are. And it's, you know, we could spend all this time talking about former decisions that they made with the Jessies, the Whitworths, you know, all of the above. None of this, you wouldn't even be talking about any of those people if the franchise had done a better job at replacing stars with their draft picks. And that, to me, is where the conversation starts. You just brought it up with T, but that's a good transition for us with Trey, because here's the dilemma that the Bengals are in. Zach Taylor, in his postseason press conference, said nobody's happy that they're not in the playoffs. That is the expectation. They woefully underachieved, etc. They have now told their fan base that with Joe Burrow, we believe we should be contending for Super Bowls every single year.
Absolutely.
How do you... Everybody is... The thing for me with the Trey conversation is, how is... It feels like the conversation has shifted to, T is a must keep. We have to have T. Higgins.
And Trey's expendable somehow.
Yeah. But did you watch the game?
No,
what I mean?
That's the part for me that's been interesting as well. So you already have to replace one edge rusher. And that goes back to the draft. Miles Murphy's supposed to be a guy by now. You would hope Joseph Osai would have been a little more productive, and maybe the light bulb finally went off, and maybe you try to bring him back.
Well, who's his agent?
Well, that's a good point. But you drafted Miles Murphy to be Trey Hendrickson's replacement, in my opinion. Okay, that's what you did. You realize, okay, he's going to get to a point where we just can't afford all these guys, and we're going to go ahead and get a, because it was at the year they took him, it was like, you don't really need another end at the moment, but okay, I see what you're doing here. And you know, lo and behold, then they extend Trey on top of it. So, okay, now you got this kid time to develop. Well, he hasn't developed yet. And so you're stuck. And then you're going to tell me you're going to take your one bona fide piece off that unit, and now I got to go find two edge rushers. And please don't tell me that, yeah, we think Miles is going to develop. If he does, it's gravy. It would be great. It's a bonus in my opinion, but I'm not banking on that. Are you banking on that?
No.
And they shouldn't be banking on that. And that's where the other part to Trey is, you know, over 30. Do you want to, not every 30-year-old is built the same. He's probably a guy that's got 5 to 7 years left in the tank, barring some goofy catastrophic injury that's out of his control. Some guys at 30, I mean, like Von Bell hit that age, right? He's a physical guy. He takes great care of himself, but he hit a wall. I don't see that with Trey Hendrickson. I sure didn't see it this past year. I'm not expecting to drop off a cliff in 1 year. And maybe you could argue if this goes 3 years down the road, well, then backload the contract in year three. And if you can get out from underneath it, that's fine. But to me, you get that extension done. I think that's one that's that to me is as easy as anything, in my opinion, because you need him more than he needs you.
Well, and that's why it goes back to our conversation about the backfilling. That's the problem.
Right.
That is 100% the problem. Charlie Jones, I mean, Darren Simmons sold us. He's got to figure out a way to stay healthy. And so much of that isn't in the player's control, but it is your livelihood to, you know, someone once said to me in college, you can't make the club from the tub,
that's
Kelsey.
It. It's the old can't make the club from the tub.
If he was something, and we're not just talking about, Yoshivash is the outlier here, the seventh round pick,
sure,
who's totally
outperformed. Yes.
Outperformed.
And at that, he's still a fourth wide receiver at best.
Great. Charlie Jones, what round was he drafted in?
Fourth round, and was supposed to be the slot replacement for Tyler Boyd.
What round was Jermaine Burton?
Third round.
And he
was only picked in the third round because of red flags. He's probably a first or second round talent, right? I think everybody would agree with that part of it.
But who was he? What did we all say when the Bengals drafted him?
That's T's replacement.
This is the problem.
Yes.
They
Miles Murphy is Trey's replacement.
These players, Dax Hill was Jesse's replacement.
That's right.
These players have not developed into players that calm the nerves of the fans that are worried about what happens if we lose them. And that is where I'm wondering if the Bengals take a look from, and I try to ask Zach this at the combine about what have you guys learned in evaluating the safety position, because it's been a revolving door for you guys for the last 3 years. And, you know, he didn't really give an answer that I felt like,
yeah,
really answered no. That. But I'm wondering if they, I know they look on it as a year by year, like case by case basis, but I'm wondering if there is a 20,000 foot view here that says, all right, this hasn't, and they have hit on some players that they've, you know, looked, Mims, Chase Brown, you know, replacements. So they have, to be fair, they've hit on some of those. But in large part, I think the reason why this is such a tense situation, because you're telling Burrow, we got you. We're going to go and try and win a Super Bowl and give you all the pieces you need. Yet he's having to lobby for these people because he's looking around, like you said, and saying, well, if I don't have him, who am I going to throw to?
Right.
And that's the conversation.
That takes your leverage away as the team too, right? I mean, you have no leverage here in a large way. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can tell him to go pound sand. That's fine. That's not going to make him happy. That's not going to make the quarterback happy. That's not going to keep the player around here. You can just say, hey, here's our offer. Take it or leave it.
Yeah.
Again, the franchise tag does hold you to that, and that's a tough spot to be in, even though it's still 27 mil of guaranteed money, basically. So he's going to do okay. But I don't think that's the precedent that you want to keep setting with your team of just continuing to tag.
You already saw it, and this is the part that I know cracks you up, because social media is not really your jam, but it has become a big part of your job, because T announced the tag on his own, and it was a very short tweet.
Tag.
T-A-G,
tag.
Period.
Yep.
Then Ja'Marr Chase posts a meme of Joe Burrow. And I'm not going to imitate the meme because I don't want to become a meme.
I saw it, though.
And the crying face emoji at T. Higgins. And it's almost like they're mocking the tag thing, which Jamar is always going to have his teammates back. And now they're even closer because they have the same agent. But what you're talking about is the precedent. The reason, the other layer of this conversation is because of the Jamar saga during training camp last year and then them starting 0-2. And then, yes, would we have reason to believe that T wouldn't play on the tag if it gets to that point? No, because it's $26.2 million. Yes. Oh. I'm not going to say he's not going to or he is because.
But he also has to.
I don't have information on that.
He also has to produce to get paid. You're not going to sit out a year and teams go, we'll back up the Brinks
truck now. So I don't think that that's an option. But what I do think the option is, we've already seen it. This has a ripple effect.
No doubt.
The tag, if we're in April and we're starting OTAs and T. Higgins, once again, you know, isn't done. If he's not, you risk the pissing the player off. He doesn't show up.
You've talked about wanting to start faster. And remember, Al Golden talked at the combine of
how
using
important OTAs are.
Absolutely, yeah.
And you talk, it will be a fail on the Bengals if the first time Joe Burrow speaks to us in May for OTAs, if not one of these deals is done, because we will then have ended the year asking Joe about these guys all off season
and starting
the
next.
With, hey Joe, you know, so that's why I think it sounds like from the Bengals
and
side,
point,
the urgency.
Well,
is
at that
there.
Point, then by the time we do have that conversation with Trey's demand to extend me or trade me, I mean, where's the best part to get maybe leverage in trade picks back is the draft, right?
So let's go there. And I tweeted this yesterday because to me, it's an interesting predicament if you're the Bengals. I feel like they have enough information at this point from Trey's representation, Jamar's representation, T's representation, and their own data points that Duke Tobin talked about, that they know one way or the other. Sure, you know, it's until it gets done, you can never know for sure. But I have a feeling that everyone involved knows one way or the other. If you had to place a bet on if this gets done or doesn't get done, I think everybody probably has an idea based off of preliminary conversations.
It's probably fair.
So with that being said, they have those preliminary conversations. The Bengals then go into a free agency, which starts next Monday, with two plans. Plan A is the best case scenario. That is, they Duke Tobin, Katie Blackburn, Zach Taylor, they feel really good about the direction those preliminary conversations have gone. They feel close enough that they feel like the two sides can come together.
And that you know where the rest of the money stands.
That so plan A for the Bengals would be, we feel really good and we can just focus on external needs, getting a defensive tackle or two, a linebacker,
another edge,
a safety,
a guard,
100%, that they can just focus on external needs. Then plan B, if you don't feel great about the preliminary conversations, do you have to have an honest conversation this week with the select people that they trust to have a very honest conversation? And that is, we've placed the tag on T. We've received calls from team one, team two, three about this is what we would be willing to give to get Trey or T. What is in the best interest for this franchise, similar to what the Rams did with Matthew Stafford, and saying, we want you back. We want to make that clear.
But don't try to make your own deal.
That clear. But go out and see what the market is, and then we will leave it. It is going to come down to the Bengals, but let's have another conversation after you survey the market. And to me, that is only if you don't feel like you can get a deal done. But if the Bengals are not having those conversations, I think it is not in the best interest, because the value of what they could get for those two players has never been higher. What do you feel about my two players?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. So we're going to take Jamal out of the equation because they're going to pay him. There's no market for Jamal.
We don't even talk about
that. No, but there's no market for Jamal. Yeah, I mean, Jamal's setting the market
the
himself.
We'll pay him, right. And so, not worried about
but
that one.
I don't think that's a bad idea, because maybe there is a team willing to pay T. Higgins $32 million on average a year. And if that's the case and they feel like they can get it on the open market, if you're the Bengals, you say, well, we've got you on the tag for right now. We're going to keep you. We'll tag you again next year, too. That's how we're going to play this game at the moment. Or that's their only leverage at the moment, in my opinion, with him. For Trey, I just, you don't have a suitable, you're going to have to go to free agency needing a couple of edge rushers if that's the case. Right. So you better know
exactly
where things stand with Trey Hendrickson. When you get to the draft, when you get to free agency.
No.
Because you may have to spend significant money on the free agent market to get an edge rusher in here, probably draft an edge rusher as well, get another edge rusher in here at a decent cost, a veteran at a decent cost. I mean, you're talking about having to make a significant investment at that position group if you don't believe you can get Trey done.
And here's the thing.
Or if you haven't gotten Trey done.
And again, I'm not reporting this, but this is just my belief that either of those players would be upset with the Bengals for as long as it is communicated openly and honestly. I have a feeling that Trey and T would be like, great, let us go see what the market is. And
I'm sure
they would take
it
as like a side swipe.
Yeah, I think their agents probably get a feel for that too.
Right.
But to your point, at least that way you get probably a fair number back in return that you can come back and say, here's what we're hearing, guys. What do you want to do about that? And at the end, I think Matthew Stafford could have gotten more on the open market and just said, yeah, but do I want to get blown up every week in Las Vegas, or do I want to play behind a good offensive line for a little bit less? I'm comfortable in my life, and let's go.
That's the point. I think it could be good for the Bengals because perhaps...
Yeah, perhaps it's a team that gives an offer that you're like,
I don't want to go there.
Yeah,
right.
I like the money, right. But I don't want to go to a quarterback who can't throw the ball to me and go 3-14.
Everybody keeps using the New England, T. Higgins, or Tennessee, for example. Like, you know, they don't know who their quarterback is. Or, you know, it's Drake May in New England, but you don't know what he can be. I don't think it's a bad thing to say, go. We give you permission. It's good data collection for both of us. And then leave it to both sides after a couple of days of surveying it. Maybe both sides can come back and be like, we really don't want to lose you. We're willing to come off this, and I'm willing to take less because I don't want to go here and play for X team. Like, I think it could be good, but only if you don't think. But that's where I want to close this part of the conversation with. What cannot happen is the Bengals having a stubborn approach and not being honest with themselves and saying, our intention is to get these deal done, but behind the scenes, they're not close, and they do not fill their needs in free agency, and they get to middle of April, and it's bad news bears with T. Higgins and Trey, and then you're then forced to try and fix all of your holes through the draft or the B-level free agents that are available and turn around and tell Joe Burrow,
We got you. No,
that can't happen.
That cannot happen. I'm with you on that.
Like the frank conversations of where they are, even though they're not easy conversations, because no one in the Bengals building believes that they're a better team without Trey.
Exactly.
Or T. But it is about being realistic, and that's where I'm wondering if you've covered the team for so long and listening to you and learning from you, like you said, like they don't trade people. They don't. It's not something that they do. I'm wondering if, given the quarterback, the attention around the team, they're a different team now, if they change some of their approach.
It's a great question. That's a great question. I wish I did have the definitive answer for you, but I don't, because that would require them to zig a little bit, because they just don't do it. They've done things, as we know, with Joe Burrow that didn't make them very comfortable, but it was clearly they had to do it. Well, now your quarterback's lobbying for some other things. I'm not here to tell you got to give in to every demand the quarterback makes, but I don't think what he's talked about is unreasonable. I don't think you can go into this going, well, you're under contract for this year. You're under franchise tag for this year. I mean, we'll just let you play. That's going to be an ugly, ugly, ugly place for everybody to be.
And there, I remember in the locker room, the Friday before that Patriots game, a couple players made some comments about the distraction that having to answer questions about Ja'Marr Chase and the locker room antics, and, you know, all of us camping out in front of his locker every day wondering if this is going to be the time he talks to us. Or, you know, the constant questions of...
Or the coaching staff not knowing he's going to play in the opener.
Right. Up until 90 minutes before the game, we didn't know.
Yeah.
It is a distraction, whether anybody wants to say it. So that's where I think this week is so critical for those decision makers over there, because...
Do you want to see T and Ja'Marr and Trey and Ball Cap standing on the sideline come July 25th or 26th or whenever camp opens?
No.
No, me neither.
No. If you are a Bengals fan, that is not what you want. And I think that it's just it's a different situation that can't be handled like the situations 20 years ago.
I agree with that. And
that's where I'm interested to see the evolvement of the Bengals strategy. And none of us know what's going to happen, but that's what makes this such an interesting situation. And I'm excited to see what comes of it, because we've spent a lot of time talking about the same story and now the umbrella effect of what happens not. But just to close the conversation on Trey, we talked a little bit about them not having, like, I don't think people understand how consistent Trey is, and that is so important with edge rushers, because you could trade Trey and get picks. How long does it take edge rushers to develop? 1 or 2 years?
No, and you can disagree with Lou Anarumo all you want as a fan. He didn't like to play not only rookie corners, he didn't like to play rookie edge rushers because he didn't think they were ready. And so it does take. It took time for Trey. I mean, look at the numbers he put up initially in New Orleans. They weren't great. When they signed, it was even, are you signing a guy off of a one-year wonder, or is this a guy who's just starting to evolve? Well, it turns out, boom, you hit a home run there because the guy's starting to evolve. I think part of the other issue is I think he's outperformed the contract to the point where they didn't think he'd be doing these kind of things at this stage of the game. And suddenly you look up and you go, got to pay the guy. I mean, he's earned it, and he's going to continue to earn it. And so I think he's outperformed those things. I think he's got him in a pickle a little bit because of that. But at the same time, it did take him a while to develop, and he finally developed into one of the best in the game at it.
That's why, for me, he's number one on my list, because I understand the pickle. I do. I see both sides. But what I keep going back to is, if you don't have Trey Hendrickson on your roster next year, I don't care who you sign in free agency.
Chase Young.
He won't be...
No, right.
He won't give you 17 and a half sacks. He won't even give you double digits.
And listen, the other part, too, that... Again, we can use any kind of metric, any kind of thing. The other part, too, is how often did they play with a lead where it was, hey, Trey, go get the quarterback because we're up by 2 touchdowns. That's all they're going to do. No, they were playing from behind half the time, right? Yeah. So what else could the numbers have been if they'd have played with more leads potentially? Right. I mean, he could have been in the 20-sack territory for all we know.
And that's why I go back to him being number one, because it significantly changes your roster if that deal isn't done or you don't know what the future looks like. And I am aware he is under contract next year.
No, right. And that's going to be that could be the final say.
I also am aware of the fact that Trey requested a trade last year and was not happy.
He's going to retire, remember?
I'm not going to say anything, but to think not having an extension done with him that meets his standards by middle of April won't be.
I think you got it. I'm with you on this. I think you got to know before. I think you got to know when you go into free agency. I know if I got to go get two guys.
Right. But I'm saying if they don't make the trade for Trey, that is them saying we feel either close or we feel like he's going to play on his current deal. And that is not a good situation because it's just
he'll spend training camp standing over there in a ball cap.
Yeah. And
with a leg owie of some kind.
Right. Yeah, I don't think that is a good situation, but my whole thing with him is you can't turn around and tell Joe Burrow your fan base that you're going to do everything to win the Super Bowl. But what have we learned? In order to win a Super Bowl, you need edge rushers and a quarterback.
And guys performing on rookie contracts.
Right. and you don't, you hope that you can get some more production out of Miles, and I'm sure they're going to sign an edge rusher or draft an edge rusher. They aren't giving you double-digit sacks right away this year, and if they do, I'll be the first to admit I was wrong. But I'm willing to guess that some of those guys, just it's not going to happen at the level of Trey. And that's why, for me, if I'm running the Bengals in terms of team roster, I have to know what I'm doing with Trey before next Monday.
Agreed.
That, to me, will figure T out, because if you had to play a game in June, would you rather have – do you feel good about your chances to win if you have Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and Trey, or Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and – T. Higgins.
But I know I have to, but I was, again, I know I have T. Higgins, and you can argue I know I have Trey Hendrickson,
that's an important piece of the conversation.
I also know I have T. Higgins. It may not be a happy T. Higgins. He's still a professional T. Higgins, and he's still gonna go play, in my opinion.
Do you think that is how they look at it, because T. Higgins in the tag, that they look at Trey first?
Yeah,
that
would be for me, for sure. That there's no question about that, because I don't need to find T's replacement. I may have to find Trey's replacement.
Right.
And I may have to do it sooner rather than later.
Right. Well, that'll be interesting. There's a lot of, well, what happens now conversations that we'll have. It honestly doesn't even really feel right or necessary at this point to get on here and talk about all the free agents that we think the team should sign or that they should sign, because
I don't know where the money's going to land.
And if one decision doesn't happen, if you have Trey, you don't, edge rusher isn't as big of a need. If you don't have Trey, then it's the biggest need on the team. So so many dominoes have to fall, which I go back to that two-prong approach that I think that they're probably having to work through. But no shortage of things to talk about.
Yeah.
I mean, shoot, we didn't even talk about like what the biggest need of the team is heading to.
The biggest need is, yes, they have big needs. We'll go with that for an answer.
I love when you do that, because it's just like, it's so telling. But here we are. I didn't think we'd be here talking about T. Higgins and free agency. But this story has followed us for quite some time now.
Yeah, I want it to end.
I think every beat writer, every commentator on the Bengals is ready for a resolution, and I'm sure the Bengals are.
Sure.
So I think everybody is rooting for an ending that results in, for them, the Bengals, they want all of them back. We'll see if it happens. But any other super interesting things you felt like came out of the combine that you want to talk about before free agency?
No, I thought the Al Golden talking about making sure he used those OTA days and the mini camp days and all of that. I think Dan Pitcher made the comment of, you know, we can't treat training camp like the Junction Boys. I think that's what everybody wants, right? These 3-a-days, everybody's hard hitting. You can't do that kind of stuff anymore.
Yeah.
But I do think there's things you can do to probably better prepare yourself. I know Zach's even talked about trying to unearth some things. I guarantee you he's going to be, even if it's just to say, fans, I did it, play starters a little bit more in preseason. I mean, I think those things, at least they're open to some of those ideas. The other one I thought that was interesting, and I'll leave you this because I know we've gone pretty long. I thought Duke Tobin, when he was asked about, you know, would you think about adding more scouts, more eyeballs, and he said, no, I'm comfortable where we're at. I value the current guy's opinions. You know, I brought somebody else in. I'm paraphrasing here, but, you know, it may take a while for me to trust that opinion. And my only thought as I listened to him give the answer, I thought it was an honest answer at least, was how do more eyeballs not help, right? How do more opinions not help?
Well, and I've had this conversation about what Duke's response was, and I hear what he's saying about, you know, we don't need people just to meet a league quota.
Sure.
But what about this scenario? How can you disagree with the fact that every other NFL team has way more, and I'm not saying they need even way more, but just more, and I know that they like a smaller circle so that it's not, you know, scout 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 all shouting at the draft table. Like, I know that they don't want that, but I don't think if you were to add more, I don't think it does anything else but help you in the data collection part of the evaluation.
And that's a huge part of it, right? That's
right. So we're not saying that these 7 scouts that you hire get a seat at the table come draft meetings.
Correct. You've already sifted their opinions out.
You have your five that you view them. But those five, they work with the data collectors to form the best profile. How is that a bad thing?
I don't think it's a bad thing at all. That answer didn't take me aback because it didn't surprise me. I did appreciate his honesty. I did, because he didn't have to answer that. And yeah, he did. I think he basically said, no, I'm good. I don't know how you could be good, though. That's the only thing to me.
Well, the only way that you get people off your back with that is you start hitting more.
Yeah, no, right. Proof's in the pudding. Always is.
Like, you can't turn around and say, always our way is the best way, and not have the situation work out over and over and over
again. To be in the pickle that you're in currently.
And that, it all goes back to our conversation about, are the Bengals going to change? And this is why I think covering this team over the next couple of years is going to be fascinating, because it's almost feeling like it's either going to be change and evolve, or you're going to get passed by. And the biggest fear Bengals fans have is, I see it all the time on social media, wasting Joe Burrow's prime. And I don't think they want to do that.
I don't think they do either. But
it's going to take give and take on their end in a bunch of areas, and I'm fascinated to see where it goes, and we'll see if it starts with these decisions around Jamar Chase, Trey Hendrickson, and T. Higgins. So thanks so much for listening. We appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll talk to you next time.